Hi, I'm Barry Conrad, and this is Banter with BC. Cheers.
Cheers.
And today I'm here with my guest, Cassie Howarth. Cassie, do you want to introduce yourself to the people?
Sure. I'm Cassie. Hi. I'm an actress, worked in film, television, and some stage work.
We like to start with something called Two Truths and a Lie. Do you know how this works?
Yes, I think so.
You're up.
My two truths and a lie. Mm-hmm. Okay. I speak fluent Italian. I have a pet bull. And I've accidentally walked into James Spader's dressing room after a Broadway play.
I want to say the last one's true. Mm-hmm. The first one is the lie. You have a bull. What is it?
Quit.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
I feel like this is the very first time I've got this right. Right, Wes? Ever. I think so, right?
Damn, so, I must have made them too easy.
No, I thought the third one was too specific to be a lie.
Yeah.
James Bader's, but...
That's true.
Yes!
How did you know I had a bull?
Like, I don't know. It's the vibe. I just kind of felt like...
Oh, that's the vibe I give off. Thank you.
I'm dyslexic. My very first acting performance was a school production of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I have no tattoos.
I feel like I've seen a picture of you shirtless on your Instagram, and I can't remember if you had tattoos.
But there could be tattoos on my leg.
That's true.
I don't know, you told me.
I'm gonna say the first play is true.
What is that?
I just feel like that would be something you'd do. Oh no, is there a play of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Okay. Okay, I'm going to say the truth is that you have a tattoo.
Okay.
And that you were in that play. Are they both the lies?
I was in the play and I don't have any tattoos. Yep, there we go. So she has gotten the wrong and I got them all right. So that's a first ever.
I'm glad I'm that person for you. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah.
Let's dig in, let's go.
Okay, great.
I feel very greedy. Go for it.
The chips are great.
She's gluten-free.
Definitely eat meat, which I have gone vegetarian at like certain points in my life. So I've done like 6 months or something vegetarian, but I always seem to go back.
How do you find that? Because meat's fun though. A chicken steak,
I know, it's
right?
More the ethical
yes, I get that.
Thing that I toy with, but I agree. I feel like I have more energy and I know everybody says no, you can have energy being vegetarian.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I have way more energy on meat and I also really like the taste. Do we go with fingers or?
I'm going. So, and I've got like a bad track record with food on this show anyway.
What do you mean?
Well,
he doesn't seem to understand the best.
I use my hands or like if I'm dishing something up or like I'll scrape it off the plate like I don't properly. It's not. So what's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done?
I had like, actually it was when I was on Home and Away, we had Easter break off. So it was like 10 days or something and I had nothing organized and I went home one night and I was living with five of my friends. We had a house here in Sydney and I got home and I was like, oh, what am I going to do for this break? I haven't got anything planned. And it was like the night before and one of my friends was like, Coachella's on over in LA. And she was like, oh, we should see if we can get tickets just as a joke.
Yeah.
So we went on like some kind of secondhand website and she could get tickets. And then we were like, I wonder if we can get flights. So we literally organized it all. The next day we flew out. Like 3 or 4 days in Coachella. And then we went up to Vegas for 3 or 4 days. And then I had to be back because I had the Logies like that Sunday night.
That's crazy.
Got back in time, but you can imagine how exhausted I was.
How are you feeling after that?
Horrendous. Like, it was the funnest time, but I felt horrendous for the Logies. I was so tired.
That's a pretty fun, spontaneous moment though, because like, Coachella, come on.
Yeah, it was great.
It's not like
proper. Well, it's because usually you're not like watching yourself eating.
You're not watching and
but
who
now
cares?
You have to watch it back and see how you eat. And I feel like it was before Coachella was like super popular. So it was still at a time when it was a really chill crowd.
What's the biggest stereotype surrounding what you do?
I feel like people think actors have a certain personality that we're really loud and want attention. And a lot of actors I know are not like that.
Right.
Actually, if anything, they're quite reserved, particularly the ones, yeah, that kind of work all the time. But then again, it's just like any profession. You have all sorts of personalities. But I feel like there's a bit of a, people have an impression of you already before they meet you.
That you'd be like this loud, like walk into the room like, hey, I'm here,
yeah, sort of thing. Or you want the attention, yeah, or you're craving, like, whereas I don't think that's necessarily true. And also for a lot of my friends as well.
What about you? Like when you go to an event, for example.
No, I'm definitely
not. Do you walk in and what's going through your head? Like the logies, like what's
your... It depends. To me, it's all about who I'm with at an event.
Yeah.
So if I'm with friends, then I'm going to have a good time anyway. But if I'm with people I don't really know and I feel like it's a work thing, I will still generally enjoy myself because everything's fun generally. But yeah, I'm not there sort of to try and be the center of attention, or I don't think I have that personality, but I do love being around those people.
It's fun though.
They're fun.
I feel like you need both, right?
Yes. It is a funny profession because people already as well think they know you from the characters you've played. So
what's your thoughts on that? Like, give me an example of when you've been out in public and someone's been like, hey, I didn't like what you did to da-da-da.
Oh my gosh, what? I've had that like a lot, especially from when I was on Home and Away here. Yeah. Like I had people come up to me and be like, I can't believe you did that to him. I can't believe you cheated on him. And would give me, and I'm like, oh, actually I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I get the sentiment that it wasn't me. Like they definitely get an impression from you and they think, you know, and they often like, they can't separate the character.
Right.
Because that's what they've been watching every night.
Yeah. You know? So thank you. Well, it means you've done your job.
Hopefully.
True, right.
Yeah.
Out of theater and screen.
Yeah.
As an actor, what do you prefer and why?
In terms of the rush of, you know, performing and things happening in the moment and it feeling really spontaneous, theater.
Yeah.
And also that high that you get after doing a show. Mm. I feel like that's really hard to parallel, like to match in film or TV. But what I love about film or TV is you get more takes. And I love exploring stuff and like finding things on, you know, on camera. And sometimes when you're doing a scene, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you'll communicate. You're saying the words to the other actor. So you're both there in the scene together, but with your eyes, you're sort of communicating something else.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're sort of having a dual thing going on.
Which is
like
fun.
Like the camera's over there, like we need like to shuffle over here, or like it's, so you've got like two things going on. I also find it technically, I'm always learning on set, so that's something I really enjoy as well. But yeah, I love the rush of theater. I love that anything could happen, it could go wildly wrong.
It's that exactly what you said, because every night is different in theater.
Yeah,
you don't know what you're gonna get. You could even like lose a line, you could drop a prop.
Oh,
like,
I've done all of those.
All of those things. Yeah. And that's also part of the adrenaline rush, right?
My grandfather played all instruments and my grandmother was a singer and played the piano. And
wow,
so,
okay.
And he was in big bands. So I have it in my family. And so since I was young and my mom could sing, all my cousins, they're all singers. One of my cousins is an amazing singer. She was a coach on The Voice.
Oh,
like she's an amazing.
Okay.
So when I started singing when I was younger, they're kind of like, nah, she doesn't have it.
Oh, you're a great actor.
Yes.
I love you so much.
Like, just keep up with ballet, doll. Like that was it.
What is that? Thank you so much, Angela. What's one of the most memorable roles you've had and why?
I did this job in Belgium. It was such a bizarre script and it was not anything I had thought I would work on. Like I'd, the character, nothing of it that I really, but it was so interesting. And the fact that we were shooting in Europe and the other actors in it were actors I really wanted to work with. So I took the job and I went over and it was honestly like the best experience to the point I haven't even seen the full finished product.
Right.
But the experience of going there and just working with those actors and having a ball and being in Europe for 6 weeks and also just the way we all stayed in this little village that was just had these amazing little restaurants and we'd go down and get like saucisson and cheeses from the local little like markets and at the end we all went to Paris for a week and it was just one of those experiences where I'm like it almost like it didn't feel like work at all.
Wow.
It almost didn't matter what the outcome was. It was really the journey of the
experience. Experience of it.
Yeah.
And can you say what it was? Like what was the project that?
Yeah, so they've changed the name of it. It was called Trunk.
Okay.
Like in America, trunk.
Like the trunk of the car.
Yeah. Yeah. But they've changed the name of it since because it's on Netflix in Europe and I'm not sure.
Will it be on Netflix in Australia? Will we get to see it?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. Maybe.
That's pretty cool. I love those experiences where you think it's one thing, but what actually happens exceeds that.
Yeah. It was totally like I nearly didn't take the job and then because it was just wasn't quite sure. The script wasn't exactly what I would have usually done. Mm-hmm. But then once I did, it was just the best. Yeah.
And you know what? I think it's all about not just the IMDb, it's about the experience and the people you meet as well. That's what makes part of acting rewarding.
Oh, absolutely. And I still have those friends.
Yeah.
Exactly. Every job is like that. I mean, you can really tell the jobs that you walk away from and you go, that was amazing, are the jobs where you got along so well with the cast and crew. Mm. Really, always, I find.
And when someone comes into your life through a job and it really leaves an impact on you and you stay friends, sometimes maybe just for that moment, but just maybe adds a degree of change to your life. It's like, wow, like I didn't know this, or this is maybe awoken something in me or confirmed something I was thinking. It's just, I think everything's about relationship. You have to trust your scene partner, for example, and your crew, but when you actually make friends, there's nothing like that.
Oh, I agree. Meaningful connections. And you're in such an intense situation for a certain amount of time. So you are spending like really long hours of a day together. Mm. And so whatever kind of pretense you all went into it with, that falls away super quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because you're going through a lot of different scenarios with each other. And I think that's what builds really strong relationships as well.
I 100% think that the same thing.
Yeah.
So good. So the AMTP over in the States proposed that background actors or actors can be scanned, like their faces, their bodies, and that their likeness can be used for eternity without any consent or any permission. What are your thoughts on that? What's your stance on AI replacing actors? Like replacing our jobs, essentially.
Okay, so I'll answer that twofold. So the first question, that's really sad to me, and it's horrendous because I feel like I know people who've made whole careers from being extras and background actors. And so essentially I don't really understand how that profession could exist in the future if they're doing this, because why wouldn't they just get enough replicas that they don't need to keep hiring? You know, they don't need fresh faces if they've got so many, and they can also make new versions off those faces with likeness. I mean, it's endless. So for that, obviously, I feel like that's a huge worry.
Yep.
And then in terms of perhaps the more featured actors, whether or not it'll replace us, obviously that's what they're trying to fight for. And I think it would be really sad if that was also to happen.
Yep.
But I do feel like technology is moving in a way and at a pace that I'm not sure how we can harness it or pull it back. What I do think is that we can perhaps change our preferences for what we view. So I saw something where Mark Ruffalo was talking about, let's get back to making independent, people going to the theater to see independent films. Mm. Because those kinds of things, they're gonna try and not use AI, right? Yeah. They're gonna use real actors.
Yeah.
So perhaps there's gonna be a full comeback of people going to see these, like moving away from the Marvel kind of or bigger franchise stuff that uses a lot of AI to perhaps going to see these really great stories that are indie films. You know, that's going to probably change the pay grade of a lot of actors and stuff like that, but that might just be part and parcel of it. I'm not all doom and gloom about it, if you know what I mean. I think there could be a resurgence, is that the word, of indie film from it.
I've actually never heard their perspective before, so that's very interesting and definitely true, because those indie films probably won't have the budget to use the AI, so let's use actors, so more independent films. Yeah.
I mean, I hope. You know, and I'm also trying to think that once a wave starts like this, I don't fully understand how you can stop it.
Mm.
I think there will be a place for it,
and
there will be a place and an audience for not having that, for having real actors in films. That's what I'm hoping.
I think that's not going anywhere. I feel like we have to live with it. If we're going to have this in our reality, let's find a compromise. Like it can't be all replacing.
Well, it hasn't started with actors. It started with writers, right? I think. Yeah. And I mean, not just in our industry. I feel like writing across the board, whether you're, you know, a novelist. Novelists now are going to be up against AI written material.
Yeah.
And there's also journalists. And I mean, it's endless.
So I know people even
we're just
the
one
emails,
industry.
Chat.
Right.
The same, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. But if there's a way to work with this and move forward, I think that's the more desirable outcome.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, oh no, we just, because it's too late for that.
It's way too late for that.
Yeah.
I love the independent film thought. That's awesome.
Well, good. Let's hope it happens. I feel like every time you start rolling, I'm going to shoot the
<It's> like, which actor would play you in a movie about your life?
I have no idea.
Could be living anywhere in the world.
But they could be any age.
Any age. Well, I mean, if they had to do a biopic right now, of Cassie.
Maybe Jennifer Connelly. How old is she now?
We're not ageist on this show, so
no.
I don't know.
I'd say she could, because she can play, and if she's a bit older,
yeah,
I think
she looks
a bit older
good.
Than me, but she can, yeah, she looks great.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why I'd have her play.
Shout out. Yes. Jennifer Connelly. It's a good choice.
I also think she's an awesome actress.
She's amazing, actually.
Who would play you?
Mm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I see that.
That's what I was thinking.
That.
Michael B. Jordan.
Hmm.
I've had other answers for other episodes, but I don't want to give the same one, so I'm going to say Michael B.
Okay.
He's a gun. He's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Oh, no. So Cassie, can't use that.
You're right.
Is what I do. This is the thing. Don't judge me, because I always do this. I just kind of go scrape.
How is that bad?
Because like in a restaurant, fine dining friends, they're like, bro, you can't do that.
You have to pick up each individual piece.
Special utensils. Anyway, whatever.
I've failed as well then in that case. Yeah. When I finished university, I moved to New York. Looking back on it now, it was so difficult at the start because I didn't have a lot of money.
Mm.
I had gone there without anywhere to live. Thought I'll just work it out when I get there.
To New York,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I had a scholarship with a dance company, so I was like, I had 3 months kind of sorted in terms of what I would do each day, but I still hadn't really organized accommodation. Like, things just fell into place.
Yeah.
Because as I think that when you're following your dream or a passion, things do sort of fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was obviously like really challenging times that I look back on now and I'm like, wow, I don't know how I stuck it out. The highs were so high, but the lows were so low. And also just not having anything to really fall back on apart from, well, I guess I just have to go home because I didn't know anybody there and I didn't know. Yeah.
And why New York? So what made you decide to go there rather than LA or somewhere else?
New York was because I got this scholarship with the Broadway Dance Center over there. I just grew up on like films that were set in New York. I loved musicals. I love, you know, all of that is New York City.
I love New York, the history of New York.
Yeah. Like that's, I don't know, I was also like, I guess, screaming for adventure, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted something really far from my home, and I grew up on like a farm in Australia, so I didn't really, that was so foreign to me. I'm really glad I did it, and it was challenging at the time, but it turned out to be one of the best things, one of the best decisions.
How long was that whole stint for in New York?
Nearly 4 years in the
really?
End.
Really?
Yeah.
So timeline-wise, scholarship in New York, and then when did Hannah Wilson happen?
So I went over there dancing, as I said at the start. I was auditioning for musicals and different, you know, that's all right. It's delicious, by the way. I had a pretty bad injury where I pulled both my hamstrings and slipped a disc and it was just like a myriad
of injuries. How did the injury happen? Like during a performance?
I think just wear and tear over time.
Yeah.
Then I was a little bit like, well, should I just go home? Because I didn't really do any classes anymore. And then I thought, I'd started dabbled in some acting classes and I thought I'll just do some more classes and then I just started to love it. So then I joined a theatre company there and I was just doing little black box theatre. And then I got on a show over there which shot in New Jersey.
That was cool.
Also one of the best jobs I've done. I just loved that show. That was in Jersey and we did that for shot that for about 6 months.
What show was that, can you say?
It was called Bar Karma.
Bar Karma, okay.
Yeah, it was about a time traveling bar.
That sounds like my kind of situation.
And I was the bartender.
Are you your bartender?
Yeah, I bartended in New York. So it was not a difficult transition.
Wow, well, she
wasn't
actually,
much acting
Cassie
involved.
Cassie actually did all of this right here. Like Negroni that I had before.
So yeah, so I did that. And then when that finished, I then came back to Australia after that.
But don't you reckon like America in general, but New York, particularly and LA, things happen so quick, man. Like,
they do. You're right.
Like, at the speed of relationship, people don't play around. Like, cool, you want to collaborate? Cool, we'll do, I got you.
Like, let's make it happen now.
And they do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a different culture, which I think is so exciting. Mm-hmm. You've got to kind of just be in, which is exciting.
Well, because you're kind of in the mecca of it.
Yeah.
You're there where everybody else is doing it. Everyone's trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
And you also feel like you've got to keep up with a pace.
Yes.
Whereas
I like
here,
that pace.
Maybe there's not as much of a pace. We're more laid back here.
So what is your biggest rejection in life?
Biggest rejection? Like outside of acting?
Could be anything. It could be anything. I mean, I'm right.
I just feel like acting has prepped, honestly. Like I've gone for jobs, you know, done stuff in other industries, and it's like nothing compared to the rejection we've faced in acting, you know?
Yeah.
Or like someone will have a meeting with me or something and be like, oh, sorry, was that too harsh? And I'm like, that's nothing.
That's
compared
nothing.
To what we've experienced on
That's
set.
Nothing.
I'd say there's been some roles in acting that I've really like, but I haven't got them, especially stuff that you get close on.
Yep.
And then of course, I mean, overacting is always like love, right?
Yes.
Like rejection in love is like, it's so hard to understand how you can feel so strongly about someone and that they don't feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to trump everything with rejection. But that happens to everybody, I think.
Yeah.
Unless it doesn't. And I don't know how you escaped it.
and then after that happens, you sleepwalk and talk about it.
Yeah.
You get it out in your sleep.
What cheers you up on a bad day?
Cheers me up on a bad day?
Yeah.
I love dance classes.
Okay.
So if I'm feeling low,
yeah.
I definitely need to get into my body, like whether it's like dancing or going for a run but generally dance classes like get me in a good mood.
What's your vibe? Like is it hip hop, like contemporary? What's your...
So I come from like theater, jazz and ballet background. So now I'll still do both of those, but also I love, sometimes I just love to do a hip hop or something that like I may not be great at, but it's just fun.
Yeah.
And it also takes me out of my head.
So good. Do you want to give us a demo?
I really don't.
You just missed the whole thing before where she was standing on the table like...
Yeah, you just missed the show.
Twerking.
Too bad.
That was the best
actor
back.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Very impressive and still all
my
the plates
are great. Where do I start? No, it's
Same.
Probably... It's probably I sleep talk pretty... Is that a habit?
I guess. I mean, if you're doing it like a lot.
A lot, every night.
And do you...
Like I only know that from when I've like lived in share houses and stuff. I will get up and like convince, like I'll get up and I'll walk around the room and I'll like talk
you
to
walk
people.
Around...
So people think I'm awake. It's a lot. And I've had like, that's how I met one of my best friends. Cause when I was at Sydney Uni and I stayed on campus there for a year. And we had these doors that when you'd close them, they would just lock like automatically. So every night I would often walk out of my bedroom and like, you know, when I'm in some scenario and like talking to whoever, you know. And so many times I like walked out of my room and closed the door behind me and I was locked out. And then I'd wake up in the hallway like freezing. And so I'd go and knock on one of the girls' doors.
Why are you
And this
sleeping?
Is when I didn't really know them. No, I was awake now, so I'd wake up, you know, in the hallway, but I was locked out of my room. And so I'd go and knock on one of my friend's doors and I'd be like, and this was early on when we didn't really know each other, like we were still getting, and she'd be like, what? Because it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm sorry, I've locked myself out. Like, she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, but I woke up and I'm in the hallway. And
That's
so
hilarious.
Then she would have to, she's like, okay, you can stay in my room. Like, and then we'd
That's
have
so
to,
funny.
Yeah, it's like, but I say crazy stuff. Like,
okay, so is there a theme
I've
to what
I've got a crazy
you say?
Story.
What's the, what do
Yeah,
you...
I think it's like, I think people or bugs and stuff are like in my room. So I wig out and then I like run out. So one time, only a couple of years ago, I was in Joshua Tree in LA. And we were staying in this house, this Airbnb, that was kind of, it was just myself and my friend, and it was like way out, so it was quite isolated. And when we got there, we were both like, because we're both scaredy cats, you know, we're both like, this is like out of a horror movie, you know, as it started to get dark.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were just like, don't be silly, you know.
Mm.
Had a great night, went for dinner, came back, went to bed, and I obviously went in one of my... apparently, this is what she said. I've tapped her on the shoulder and there's like this window that just looks out into desert. And I'm like, there's a man out there. And then I just roll over and go to sleep. And she's like, what? like, where's the man? Like, freaking out. And then she's like waking me up and she's like, you said you saw a man, you know? And I'm like, oh no, I just would have been sleeping. Like,
that's scary. Like, you scared your friend.
I know.
That's your fault.
It's my sleep talking's fault.
And I feel like, when did that start? Like, did you always do that? Or
just... Always. So in my house, both my brothers would sleep, walk and talk. And I would mostly just stay in my room, but I would talk. Mum was like, it was like a madhouse at night.
It's a genetic sleep talk / walk house.
I know.
This is the weirdest
this is the weirdest habit we've ever had on the show.
A lot of people sleep
talk. Cheers, Cassie.
Don't they?
The prize.
Great. Surely there's a lot of sleep talkers and walkers out there.
We need prizes for these things. I'll post a poll after this episode to say, are you this person?
Yeah. There's a lot of us out there.
Are there? What do you call yourselves? Is it like a nickname?
Yeah. We're just like everybody else, guys.
Since I finish things off, we'd like to hit you with some fast trivia.
Oh,
you ready for this?
No.
The president of SAG-AFTRA is?
Fran Drescher.
Correct. Which two female actors hold the record for the most Logie Award wins with 5 apiece? Come on, Cassie.
Oh, I've got no idea. Is Georgie Parker one of them?
Lisa McCune and Asha Keddie.
Asha Keddie for sure.
Which iconic American actress and activist also had a long, successful career in the fitness industry?
Jane Fonda.
Correct. Which actor or actress starred in Maggie's Plan and is also the director of the Barbie film?
Oh, it's Greta, is it?
Greta Gerwig.
Gerwig, yeah.
Correct. Cassie, thanks so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me, Barry. Yeah, it was awesome. Great.
Yeah.
And thanks for the food. Delicious.
It's delicious.
If you love this episode of Banter with BC, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Thanks for watching, and we'll catch you next time.